Yes, Limits. I was also, well, first of all, what is Luis Ortiz being investigated for?
That's the thing. Nobody knows. He's being investigated, but Major League Baseball, the Guardians, have not said what he's being investigated for. So I don't even want to speculate on what it could be, but the fact that they won't release it must mean it's not good.
Now, what kind of year is he having? 4-9, 4-3-6, about what you'd expect.
Yeah, he's been okay.
He's been okay. Well, that's a story certainly to track. In the meantime, thinking about quarterback, as we often are around here, Limits, and I happen to be watching, and did you ever see the 30 for 30 on the 1983 quarterback draft?
Yes, I actually have.
So have I. I watched it last night again, and it reminded me. It reminded me of how hard it is to win. And the notables from that draft, of course, are Elway, Kelly, and Marino.
Wasn't the title of the documentary Elway to Marino?
Yes, it was. And thank you for mentioning that.
You're welcome.
Elway, Kelly, and Marino. And guess what happened, Limits?
What?
All three of those guys almost went 0 for Super Bowls. Marino, as great as he was, never won a Super Bowl. Jim Kelly, as we know, went 0 for 4. And Elway didn't win until his mid to late 30s. It's really, really hard to win. And that brings us to, because those guys were as great as it gets. You can make an argument, Elway's the greatest quarterback ever. I think you could make that argument.
Yeah, talent-wise, he's got a case.
And then Kelly, and you can make the same argument for Marino. And Kelly ain't far off. So we fast forward to today, where in the AFC, we know, and there's a few pretty good ones in the NFC too, it's littered with great, still young, fairly young quarterbacks. I remember having Peter King on when he used to come on with me and Ron. And you miss Ron more by the day, I sense. Yes?
More so by the hour.
By the yeah. How often do you think of Ron? I think about him probably every other day.
I think about him a lot just because we bring him up a lot.
Yeah.
If we didn't, I would think about him maybe once a week.
How often does Ron think about you?
Probably once a year.
If that. Yeah.
If that.
How about me?
Three times a year.
Three times? All when he's angry?
Probably when he comes back and he's at the Minico's and he's sitting there and he wonders if he should reach out to Joe and then says, ha, no, I'm not going to do that.
What do you make of Ron coming back here and never reaching out? Is it hurtful?
I find it strange.
Yeah.
Like, why would he not want to engage and say hi to people?
He clandestinely comes back.
What a word.
Goes and gets food at Domenico's.
Probably for free.
Likely beer.
Yeah.
And never reaches out. And I do find that somewhat hurtful. Does he reach out to anybody?
That's the thing. If he was coming back, he obviously is coming back for a reason. And I don't think that it's just to go to Domenico's.
I think it is.
You think actually, he's flying back 1,000 miles just to go to Domenico's?
I do. Yes.
What a glowing endorsement for them.
Well, he's very good friends with Dom, who's wonderful man.
Yeah.
So that got me to thinking about the AFC as it currently stands. Peter King came on with Ron and I. I said, just sort of a random question, Peter, is Josh Allen going to win a Super Bowl? He didn't hesitate. Absolutely, he said. This was maybe 2 years ago.
And that really tingled Joe Starkey, the Bills fan.
Well, what it more did was jog my memory back to guys like Marino and Kelly, but also caused me just to take a look at the landscape in the AFC. You have Josh Allen, who's now an MVP, who I would say is one of the most talented quarterbacks I've ever seen. You have Lamar Jackson, who's two-time. Can make a really good argument, should be a three-time MVP, who hasn't sniffed the Super Bowl yet.
No, just one AFC championship.
You have Joe Burrow, who I would say is angling toward a certain Hall of Fame career. And somebody could make the argument he's the best quarterback in the game right now, based on last year's numbers, based on what he's done.
Intern Dom thinks he's the best. If you take Intern Dom's opinion for
has he won a Super
clarity.
Bowl? Not Intern Dom,
Intern
but
Dom,
Joe Burrow.
No,
he's been to one. He's lost. C.J. Stroud, I think, is going to be very good. I think he already is pretty good. Took a step back last year, maybe, but still won a playoff game. There's another franchise around who has a lot of trouble winning playoff games or even competing in them.
Who would they be?
Patrick Mahomes is the guy who's won them. Justin Herbert hasn't come close. Bo Nix, I think, is going to be a star. So I ask you, O Limitless Wonder, which one of these guys is going to be left out, or which two or three of these guys is going to be left out in the AFC? And as an addendum to that, where is the Steelers' next guy coming from? We're all convinced it's going to be in next year's draft. My fear is that they may reach for somebody because the draft is in Pittsburgh because, whoa, they're thinking we have to get a franchise guy. If you don't have a top five pick, I mean, I think we're assuming that they're just going to trade their way into the top five, assuming they don't blow up this year and get there on their own volition.
Yeah.
All of those things I'm thinking about, we spent hours grading the Steelers off season. They don't have a future quarterback. This is a quarterback coach league. This may work with Aaron Rodgers, but they're not winning the Super Bowl.
No, and it's just a one-year thing.
All of us know that.
It's a short-term relationship.
It's
you're not looking to commit.
Coach quarterback league. And that is underscored by all of this. Even if you have a great quarterback, you might not win. Kelly didn't win. Marino didn't win. I don't know that Josh Allen, Burrow, Stroud, Lamar, any of these guys are ever going to win. Who do you think's going to get left out? Maybe the easier question is, after Mahomes, who's the next great young guy in the AFC to win it?
I think Allen.
You do?
There's just some feeling inside of me that makes me think that Buffalo is going to break through with Josh Allen. I don't know if it's the likability of Allen, the likability of the story of the Bills, who have been four-time losers in the Super Bowl, but there's something for me that just thinks that, yes, their defense, it can be a struggle, but they've been knocking on the door for so long, it's just natural to think that they're going to break through it at some point.
There's a chance that none of them will.
There is.
I'm going to think Lamar, because I think he has the best team right now and the best chance, at least of those guys, in this coming season. I really do.
Well, when you think of front office, coach, quarterback, the one that I trust the most is probably Baltimore.
Yeah, when I think strictly quarterback, I guess Allen, maybe Burrow, they're all great. Lamar's unbelievable.
But do you
Lamar
trust-
was a drop pass away from maybe, remember that game only would have been tied.
Yeah.
Maybe from going to the AFC title game, and I actually think they would have beaten the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs were very vulnerable last year, but they didn't get it done. And when you squander chances like the Bills have with Allen, like the Ravens have, where they've been the best team, and both of those teams have taken turns doing that. Joe Burrow got there, missed opportunity, went back to Kansas City in the AFC title game, missed opportunity. You don't know when they're coming around again.
Well, and that might be Burrow's best opportunity, Joe, because, I mean, think about it from this perspective. How much do you trust Zach Taylor? How much do you trust the Bengals front office where they don't even want to give Shamar Stewart their rookie first round pick?
Zach Taylor, the last 2 years, they've come back from nowhere to finish 9-8. We give statues for that around here. Zach Taylor should be hailed as a conquering hero.
They also have one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, a offensive line that is pretty bad.
I know.
Plus two star wide receivers.
I know.
And their defense is awful. That's the point of the matter. Their defense is terrible.
Point of the matter is it's really hard to win. Your best chance, sometimes your only chance, is with a great quarterback, and sometimes even they don't win. Because, by the way, there's Jalen Hurts in the NFC, who I think is just criminally underrated. Anybody who doesn't put Jalen Hurts in their top five quarterbacks right now is out of their mind.
And people sleep on Jared Goff, and also the Lions situation.
I sleep on Jared Goff. He stinks.
He stinks?
No, he doesn't stink.
No, Jared Goff is a good quarterback.
Jaden Daniels is the second best quarterback in the NFC.
That's correct.
That's my point here, Limits. And my other point is, where is the next guy for the Steelers, and why do we just assume that they're going to get their guy next year? I've fallen into this trap, too.
Well, I think it's more
all
so...
All their resources are going through to 2026 with the draft here. Well, what if this QB draft stinks? And what if they don't get a number one or a five pick? What if they don't? Well, it's amazing to me that people just assume that with all their resources, they're going to trade into the top five.
Well, I think it's more likely that that's the case now than ever before, just because the track record that Omar Khan has put out there. Like, Omar Khan has shown he is fully willing to be aggressive.
That's great. So are other guys. You don't think the Rams might get aggressive if Stafford goes downhill this year?
I'm sure they will. They have two first-round picks.
Yeah, and there's 30 other teams.
Cleveland's got two first-round picks.
Probably 20 of whom need a quarterback.
Looking at this year's upcoming class and what looks to be the depth of it, and what I mean depth, I don't mean guys that can be taken first,
second,
third.
Listen, I don't mean to insult Drew Aller, but if you're telling me right now he's the Steelers' future quarterback, I'm saddened by that.
And that's the first name that you come to, of course, but that wasn't even on the tip of my tongue. Like, Klubnik's a good quarterback. I like Nussmeier a lot. Lenora Sellers has been hyped up to be pretty good.
Good for him.
And somebody's going to come out of the blue and just magically
Fernando
appear.
Fernando Mendoza of Indiana?
Sure, I don't care. And be good.
How do you know? Because we've had people on this station, people who study this crap, who say there is no guarantee next year's quarterback class is going to be way better.
We obviously have to play the season, but I do look at going into a couple years ago with that Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, Penix draft. That was hyped up to be a pretty good class that became better once the games were actually played.
Very true.
I mean, people knew that Daniels was going to come out and be a solid quarterback.
Tell me again who was in that quarterback class.
It was number one overall was Caleb Williams to the Bears.
Right. Daniels, who still could be very good.
Daniels went two.
Already great.
May went three, who I think can be a really good quarterback.
Can be very good.
J.J. McCarthy went to Minnesota.
And Bo Nix.
Penix went eight to Atlanta. And
we'll
Bo
find
Nix
out about
went
him,
to Denver.
That
right now, that's bang, 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 bang. I don't like McCarthy. Bang. They're hitting.
They're hitting. That might turn out to be one of the greatest quarterback classes ever, by
yes.
the way.
And, I mean, think about that compared to the class that they had with the Burrow, Tua, and I'm not the biggest Tua guy, but Herbert was also in that class.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts was in that class. Jordan Love was in that class.
Jordan Love could still be very good,
yes,
I think.
My point is, you can have big classes, especially when there are years like the Pickett draft, where there is just a dud fest. There's a snoozer, like this past year probably was with just Cam Ward, and we'll see how Dart turns out, to where the next year...
Dart's going to turn out, and the Steelers should have taken him, but go ahead. I'm not convinced that next year... First of all, that the Steelers won't avoid the trap of we have to take a quarterback. I think already they're thinking we got to get our guy next year.
Well,
we have
yes,
to.
I'm sure they are.
Well, what if they reach again for Kenny Pickett 2.0?
Well, that's my thing. Like, I feel like you could say that if you were a Denver fan. Like, oh, Bo Nix is the sixth quarterback that's taken. Bo Nix, you are probably one of the people that's highest on Bo Nix of anybody.
What do you mean? He could have won Rookie of the Year. He had 29 touchdowns and 12 picks.
That's my point, that you can still get a guy in a deeper class if he's in the right system.
That's true.
Be able to perform.
If he's in the right system, that's the other depressing part of this. None of this matters. Everybody who comes here is going to get ruined.
See, I don't fully believe that.
Yes, you do.
I don't, because if there's somebody that has...
Can overcome the system.
Overwhelming talent and can overcome things. I mean, we've seen quarterbacks go to systems and overcome.
He sucks.
Horrendous coaching and horrendous situations.
I don't even know who I was talking about. I'm all riled up
now.
Who
sucks?
I don't know. Let's talk about some of these names.
Texter, calm down, Lil Bro. Next texter, go limits go. In the span of like seconds.
This is the story of the Steelers right now. Tomlin's not going anywhere,
no.
And the rest is rearranging deck chairs. It's going to be entertaining, might be wild this year. Maybe Aaron Rodgers can still play, maybe he can't. Who is their next quarterback going to be? Drew Aller needs to take a leap. I don't think of him right now as the guy if I'm running a franchise. That could change. And the guy's, what is he, 6'5", 240?
Yeah, he's still only 21 years old, too.
All kidding aside with you and, being a Penn State fan and loving Aller.
Well, and I've admitted that, too. He needs to take a step. That is, nobody should think otherwise. He needs to take a significant step, especially in the biggest moments.
Yeah, I agree with this breakdown from ESPN. Some throws that should be easy completions in stride and things like that is still not totally... as accurate as you would want him to be.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
But we'll have a chance to watch him in tons of big games this year. Carson Beck from Miami, 6'4", 220. He had a disappointing final season at Georgia, didn't he?
Very disappointing. That's why he transferred to Miami.
Well,
he transferred to Miami where his girlfriend was playing basketball, and then they broke up, and the girlfriend said that Carson Beck was talking all kind of bad things about her.
If Carson Beck had come out this year, where is he going?
Second round, third round? I don't think he would have been a first round
pick. So, okay.
You're talking about this past class?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're talking about two guys right off the top. Drew Aller, to me, still very much an uncertainty. I mean, this isn't like Peyton Manning's coming out here. He's an uncertainty. Carson Beck is totally uncertain.
Very.
How about Cade Klubnik?
See, I'm not as high on Klubnik as a lot of other people are. I mean, he has a decent frame.
He's
6'2".
Jackson Dart dressed in orange.
I think he's more of a system guy.
Actually,
with Dabo.
I love Jackson Dart. What am I talking about?
Yeah, what
about
are
here?
You talking about? I don't know. You want to praise Jackson
Dart
as the next savior
you
of
love
franchise.
This guy?
Who, Klubnik?
Yes.
Not really.
Why?
I want to see another year of him. I feel like he could be a little bit clunky. Clemson had a down year this year. He doesn't perform the best in the biggest of moments. He still misses some throws. But, I mean, he is a dual threat guy that can both run and throw. And, I mean, that's what you look for in the modern NFL.
Unless you find Joe Burrow.
Nussmeier is really the type of guy, and he is a little undersized at just 6'2", 200.
I'm not too Nussmeier yet limits. I'm going in order here. Please
in order
don't
of
jump
what?
Ahead. In order of the guys I'm reading in this story.
Oh, I was looking at it.
I don't know
story.
Why I'm getting angry at you. But I
please don't. It's
this
summer.
This is a desperate situation. I think we're masking, all of us, fans, media, everybody on earth and everybody in the football world are unintentionally masking the fact that the Steelers are a desperate, desperate franchise right now. To a lot of people, they're the stable Steelers, and this year they're taking the big swing, and boy, isn't it fun, and they're going to come back next year and restore the stability and get themselves a quarterback. This is what we all feared. This is, to bring this segment full circle, this is what Ron Cook used to talk about pretty much every day. Is because when people wanted to run Ben out of town at points late in his career, he would say, be careful what you wish for.
Yep.
Because you might not get that next guy. Most teams don't. Most teams don't just go from one to the other. And so far, Mike Tomlin is 0-5, and it's been mighty ugly. It's been mighty ugly. It's been so ugly that he's going to go 0-6 maybe with a guy who's already part of 0-5, who's Mason Rudolph.
Well,
he's bringing in a soon-to-be 42-year-old Aaron Rodgers. The Steelers are a desperate franchise right now in the context of who's the next quarterback to take them to a Super Bowl.
Well, they're going to go 0-6 in terms of finding a long-term solution just because we know that Rodgers is a one-and-done guy. Now, that doesn't factor in the Super Bowl conversation and winning in the playoffs. But yeah, this has been bobbled. The football has been on the ground 5 times from Mike Tomlin.
Piggy on the ground.
And it's been scooped up by the opposition, picking up these quarterbacks.
Cade Klubnik, this guy Jordan Reed, says, scouts around the league I've talked to have raised concerns about his arm strength and whether he can build on 24. Questions about his arm surface when he's forced to test tight windows and underneath coverage. Inconsistent trajectory on deep passes. He needs the moon ball. He should go spend a week with Mr. Unlimited.
Him and Rush should hang out.
Yeah. Can I hear myself pomp and Donnie and Sean don't call me Seth Meyers when we were all excited about Mr. Unlimited? Do you have that
Steelers
up there?
Steelers Nation, let's ride.
Steelers Nation, ride with me, baby.
Oh, boy. Steeler Nation, let's ride.
Steelers Nation, let's ride.
But wait, the result.
Let's ride my ass. Yeah, I remember that. That was the way I felt about Russell by the time he left. It was time to go, was the problem. Sam Levitt from Arizona State. He was a revelation last season, says Jordan Reed. I'll tell you this much. I am going to be watching college football this year more intently than maybe I ever have in my life. I'm going to be watching all these guys and all these games because everything's available to watch. And so are you, Limits, are you not? He's
calm and poised.
He has only 13 career starts, tends to be too bouncy in the pocket.
Bouncy.
You've had that problem, Limits.
Yeah, I can be too bouncy in my stance when I swing.
So we're not looking a year ahead of time at Kelly, Marino, and Elway. We're just not. Now, this guy may fit into that category. And that is Arch Manning, but he has started just 2 college games. Mm. That's it. And this guy says he has a habit of sticking to his primary read too long. Didn't he learn from Uncle, is his Uncle Peyton? Uncle Peyton and yes. Eli? Is that who they are?
Yeah,
his uncles?
He's Cooper's son.
Yeah, he's got to, how did he not learn not to do that from them?
NFL Draft Buzz has Arch Manning's player comps as Trey Lance, Drake May, and Trevor Lawrence.
If the draft were right now, like if they had a supplemental draft of just quarterbacks right now, would Arch Manning go first among these guys? I think so.
Yeah, I would think so. Just
who would go second? Who would go second?
I would say probably Sellers.
Wrong. I agree. Yeah. We need to find a quarterback guru now that we're on this topic. We had a guy on here a couple of years ago who was out of his mind, but he was entertaining. And he obsessively grades quarterbacks. Can you try to find him, Limits?
I can try. You'll love this. You will love this. So NFL Draft Buzz, they've ranked all the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Player comparison similarity level for Drew Aller. Would you like to guess the three quarterbacks? In college,
yes.
Not for the pros.
Josh Rosen.
No. Really? Josh Rosen? I mean, I guess he was fine at UCLA.
Comparison for Drew
you
Aller.
You will
I mean, he's been size,
off.
But...
These are recent guys.
Oh, I know who it is. Who was the guy? Brock Osweiler.
No.
Who else?
NFL Draft Buzz says player comparison similarity level in the style for Drew Aller.
Ben?
Cam Ward,
mm-hmm.
Will Howard, and Jackson Dart.
Yeah, baby! Now I'm on board.
No. I'm on board.
I like that.
I don't
that.
Know if I'm going to trust NFLDraftBuzz.com again.
All right, I think the second pick this year behind Arch Manning would be Nussmeier from LSU.
I could see it.
Then
probably Sellers. Then Aller falls right in their lap.
I think he's the most spectacular talent here. Would you agree with that, Limits? They say he has a daredevil mentality that can sometimes backfire, get sacked a lot, but he does make spectacular plays. Would you agree with all of that?
Yeah, I would agree.
And has a flexible
that.
Arm, which is helpful, right?
Flexible.
Yeah.
So he
thank
can
you for being so flexible.
Sidearm it a little bit. Shovel right. passes are critical.
Sure. I think, and what about Lenoris Sellers? There's another guy.
Yeah, honestly, I got to watch
maybe
more.
He's the most spectacular talent.
I have 6'3", to watch
242.
More Sellers. I have to watch more Sellers. I'm not
a toolsy,
entirely...
explosive, dual-threat passer who completed 66% of his passes. Ran for 7 touchdowns, can easily throw to every level of the field, and his compact, strong frame makes him a game changer on designed runs. He's only 20 right now, Limits.
Yeah, he runs a 4.6.
It's so intriguing to read about these guys. I want you to have our next guest for the next segment, if you can get him.
For 5-10 minutes from now?
Yes, 5-10 minutes from
who
now.
Who are we getting?
Why can't you do it? I don't know. The guy who obsessively tracks quarterbacks. I'll find him.
Nice name.
I'll find him before you can. And I
do
left,
it.
I left my steak salad at home this morning because I was looking for my phone. And so now I have nothing to eat. Would you like to order a pizza?
I would love to order a pizza.
I don't want to order a pizza because yesterday I had 3 pieces.
I did too.
And I don't want to eat pizza today.
Then what would you like to eat?
Maybe subs. Can you go get us some?
No, I have to be here for the show.
How about McDonald's?
I have to be here for the show.
I'll get you a fillet of fish.
I have to be here for the show.
No, you don't. I can run the show.
Colin sick.
Where do you think Bob is right now?
He's either golfing or he's doing a KDKA story. Or maybe it's I think it's a KDKA story about golf.
Good old part-time pomp, I think, too. What about John Mateer from Oklahoma Limits? Huh? You don't like him?
John Mateer?
Yeah.
I know nothing about him.
Neither do I, except what I'm reading right here.
What about Jackson Arnold from Auburn?
Not as good as Jackson Dart is no. The only thing I'll say.
Mm. Who knows?
How about Aiden Childs from Michigan State?
What about Miller Moss from USC?
Good alliteration. Oh my God, this story lists Eli Holstein.
Malachi Nelson from UTEP. He used to be a top recruit.
Holy ostrich.
He transferred.
He needs to play with more control, this guy says of Holstein, and improve his ball placement as his 15% off-target percentage ranked 100th in FBS.
NFL Draft Buzz doesn't even have Holstein on this list, but they do have Cam Rising on here at 37. Cam Rising's like...
How about Darian Mensah from Duke Limits? He's a Mensah candidate. He's the smartest player in the draft. He was a big play transfer portal pickup for Duke, it says here. I don't know. I'm interested in all these guys, But the moral of the story for me is that Will Howard is probably not going to be that guy.
No.
Even though a lot of people suddenly seem to think he is going to be that guy. And I'm not convinced that that person is going to be available to them. I'm not convinced they're going to trade their way into the top five. And I'm fearful that they're going to go into this draft saying we have to get a quarterback, and that is not a good mindset to have.
Does it need to be the top five or just the top 10?
Top 10, and as you said, it could even be later in the draft. Do you trust this team to take the right quarterback later in the draft?
No.
Neither do
I. No, I don't. I would much rather it be a top 10 guy.
They had a
you're banking on more talent.
They had a first-round grade on Mason Rudolph, and they actually took Kenny Pickett. So, and Mike Tomlin was around for both those picks, I might add. This says of the Steelers, drafting Will Howard hardly answered their long-term quarterback question. They currently have 8 picks and, oh no, this was going into this year's draft. Okay. No, it's going into next year's draft. Expect the Steelers to be aggressive next spring with their search for this quarterback. Yes, of course.
They have a ton of picks next year.
Who's a sleeper team to watch at QB? I mentioned this to you 2 minutes ago. The LA Rams.
Yes, they have 2 picks.
Yes, they do. 2 first-round picks.
They're going to get a guy.
And they could get aggressive with a trade-up. I don't like the Steelers' chances of outsmarting the Rams in this matter. Do you? Identifying the right quarterback and going to get him? No, I don't.
Not when Sean McVay is on the other side, no. I would much rather trust the offensive guru that can remember like a week 7 play in the middle of a game against Tennessee than what's going on here. And that's just because Sean McVay is just a brilliant football mind.
Lots and lots of quarterback talk limits. There's guys we didn't even mention, for God's sakes. But let's take a couple calls on that before we get to some sports moments and also some potential Pirates trades. And a guy that is precisely the type of player I'm talking about that they should get. I don't know if it would be him, but he fits the profile of the type of player the Pirates need. Notice I said player.
Player.
And not prospect.
Yes.
Go to the lines, limits. Who's on them?
All right, here is Anthony in Oakland to start us off. Hi, Anthony.
What's up, Anthony?
Joe, have a good holiday, by the way.
You too.
Joe, unlike you and a lot of others, I'm taking my cues on Will Howard from two quarterbacks he's interacted with. One named Ben Roethlisberger and the other Aaron Rodgers. Plus, I've heard some comments from ex-players from Ohio State, and even their ex-coach. What they think that Will Howard possesses that a lot of young quarterbacks coming into the league don't is his accuracy. They say his quarterback acumen and his accuracy is way above. And his coach said that 4-game playoff, when he was facing some of the same players that are in the NFL now that went in the first round, and they won 4 in a row. I'm very impressed with him. And so does Ben Roethlisberger and Aaron Rodgers seem to be. And that's good enough for me.
So you think there's a chance, and maybe a good chance, that he could be the Steelers' next guy? Let me just ask you this, Anthony. Why did he last until the 6th round?
I don't know. Why did A.B. last to the 6th round? Why did Brady, I don't know.
I mean, you're talking about the two greatest 6th-round picks in the history of the National Football League.
But they weren't considered the greatest when they were in college.
Of course not. That's why they're considered the greatest, that they made it in the NFL to the Hall of Fame. One of the reasons is his lack of arm strength from everybody you see. Anthony?
I'm sorry. You cut off on me. Joe, listen. I'll listen to those people, but I'm going to listen to Ben Roethlisberger more. And I'm going to listen to Aaron Rodgers more. And I'm going to listen to Day, who is his coach. And he's like me, that I am impressed with that playoff run and the players he went up against.
Me too. I mean, it was impressive. It was impressive. That's right. Inarguable. And maybe he is, you know, Brock Purdy. I appreciate the call, Anthony. I'm open-minded, certainly, to Will Howard. But, yeah, there's reasons why a guy lasts until the 6th round. And, yes, I've used Ben as a reference before as well. That's one of the guys I used for Jackson Dart. He loves Jackson Dart. What exactly did Ben say about Will Howard? Do you have some quotes there, Limits? Could you look those up for me, please?
I'll see if I can find it here.
people are really, really gung-ho about this guy.
This is what Ben had to say about Will Howard bouncing back against Oregon.
They're driving down the field to win the game against, I think, number one ranked Oregon at the time. And Oregon is a team that everyone was, you know, figuring was going to be the national champion. They're driving down the field, and he takes off running towards the end of the game with no timeouts, I believe. And I might screw this up, but my overall reasoning of the story will make sense. He slides or gets down, gets tackled. Something happens, and the clock runs out. Mm-hmm. They have no time to spike it, no time to run another play. Like, the game ends with, in essence, what you would call looking back at a mistake.
Sure.
He made a mistake. He tried to, you know, extend a play, whatever it was, and time ran out without them getting a shot at the end zone. In that situation as a quarterback, and you're playing a team, that people think have a real chance. You're playing a team that people talk about having a real chance, and this is kind of like a big game. You're at their place. You have a chance to win this game, and you lose it, and you kind of lose it, if you will, on your mistake. Hmm. I think a lot of guys would just kind of like crumble at that. Like, you let your team down, you let the guys down, and just kind of go into like a, man, what, like, I let us down, mm-hmm. right? What did he end up doing? They didn't lose another game. They play Oregon in the Rose Bowl, I believe, blow them out, go win a national championship. And it's like, I just love the fact that, to me, that's a winner.
Yeah.
That's a guy that made a mistake that was like, you know what? I can't tell you what he said or anything like that, but I'm sure he's thinking to himself like, I let the guys down. I let my team down. I let the fans down, the coaches, myself, my family. I'm not letting that happen again.
And there's no doubt. I mean, it's inarguable that what he did was very impressive.
It was, no doubt. Go on and win a national championship, very impressive. But I mean,
but when you look up weaknesses like PFF rating these guys, simply doesn't have the strongest arm. And that requires him, as it says here, to play with perfect timing. When things aren't perfect, you know, trouble can arise. His lack of arm strength shows up most on intermediate throws that require velocity to fit the ball into tight windows. Now, there are plenty of guys who have made it without rifle arms. I get it. But let me put it this way. Does the presence of Will Howard mean that you're not going to take... First of all, how are you going to know between this year and next what exactly you have in Will Howard? Like, would his presence keep you from going for a quarterback next year? That seems crazy to me. I will say I'm open-minded. And for all I know, you know, they have a guy who's going to turn 42. There may be opportunity for others around here this season. And if Will Howard comes in and plays well, great. Maybe they do have a sixth-round gem. But that certainly isn't something I'm really even thinking about, honestly, right now.
It's obviously like a really good thing that Will Howard did win a national championship, but I will give people pause as using that for a big part of their argument, because these are the quarterbacks that have won a national championship over the last 10 years. Will Howard, J.J. McCarthy, sure, first-round pick, we'll see, Stetson Bennett twice, Mac Jones, Joe Burrow, Tua, Trevor Lawrence, okay, Deshaun Watson, Cardale Jones, Jameis Winston, A.J. McCarron, Cam Newton, and Greg McElroy.
I mean, there's a fair amount in there who have
there's
been
some,
pretty good NFL quarterbacks.
But the guys
were
all high first-round picks.
That in and of itself, you know, doesn't mean that you're headed for stardom by any means,
no.
Or even a roster spot. So I'm open-minded on him, but let's not get crazy here.
No, let's not.
All right. We won't.